Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Cut the music. Jesse, cut the music. Cut it. Ain't no music being played. You guys know what it is. It's D-Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. It's Kenny Caraway. I got my main man, Damian Barling. He letting me slide in here. Usually he drives the car. I said, no. You sit in the passenger seat. You sit in the back seat if you want to. Because I've got some stuff I've got to say. So there ain't going to be no intro music. There ain't going to be none of that. When I'm done and everything's done, Damian will talk. If you guys want to talk, 916-349-1320, you can call in. You can find us on the Twitter, at D-Lo and KC. You can find us on the Instagram, at D-Lo and KC. But I had to come on here now, off the rip, because I didn't want to wait one more second. One more second to not talk about what I saw, what we all witnessed at Levi's Stadium yesterday. Because from 105 Pacific Standard Time to 408 Pacific Standard Time, we saw one of the most embarrassing, pathetic performances I've seen in my 37 years on this earth of being a 49ers fan. It was disgusting. 43-17 Miami Dolphins. 43-17. Not Pittsburgh Steelers, not Seattle Seahawks, not Dallas Cowboys, not Green Bay Packers, not New England Patriots. 43-17 Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins. And we got so much to talk about. I'm gonna talk about it. We're gonna get into Brian Allen. Giving up 124 yards, receiving one touchdown, not including a horse collar penalty that got him to first and goal, not including a pass interference call that got him to first and goal. He gave up a perfect quarterback rating to Ryan Fitzpatrick of 158.3. We'll talk about him. We're going to talk about Akello Witherspoon. We're going to talk about the offensive line that gave up 12 pressures in that game, let alone however many sacks they gave up. We're going to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, I said Jimmy's back. We're going to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. We're going to talk about it all. We got 2 hours, and it might not even be enough. But I need to start at the top of that food chain. And you guys know how I feel about Kyle Shanahan. Let me start off this by saying there ain't no more young Shanny right now. There ain't no young Shanny. When I talk about boxing and I get mad at Canelo Alvarez, I don't call him Canelo. His name is Saul when he's in the doghouse. Ain't no young Shanny right now. It's Kyle Shanahan. For whatever reason, he has this weird obsession with thinking C.J. Beathard is a good quarterback. And he felt the need yesterday. There's a litany of things going on here. But let's start at the quarterback position. Let's start on the offensive end, because the defensive end, maybe we can talk about Robert Saleh. Not Bob, Robert Saleh. But Kyle Shanahan has this obsession with C.J. Beathard somehow being an NFL quarterback. He drafted him in the third round when the man wasn't even going to get drafted at all. If you liked him that much, he wasn't going to play. Third round out of Iowa, who threw for 80 yards a game, it seemed like. I watched Iowa. I'm a Michigan fan. I watched them all the time. All they did was run in three clouds of dust. Run for 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And you want to go get that quarterback in the third round like he was somebody? So you go and get him in the third round. He proves once he's on the field that he's no good. The record shows it. The stats shows that he's no good. Nick Mullins has one real bad moment in his entire career, and you yank him at the drop of a dime to get CJ in the game. Weird, but whatever. You start Jimmy Garoppolo the next game. Is his ankle 100%? No. Can he find a way to gut it out? He should. Does he have an awful first half? Yes. But you use that opportunity, the instant that it looked bleak for Jimmy, the guy that you just said about 10 days ago, this is Jimmy's team. There is no scenario that exists where this isn't Jimmy's team. And you run to C.J. Beathard again? And it's not even about the performance, because the game was probably lost at that point. But now you alienate the guy that 10 days ago, you said it was Jimmy's team. How does Kyle Shanahan go into the locker room, go into the quarterback's room, and say anything? And people, you want to talk about your vet looking at Rodney and Baby Boy side eye. All three of them quarterbacks is looking at him crazy right now. How can he say anything? So you got that. And then you got this situation where I said weeks ago, I said when Nick Bosa went down, I might even said after week one, I want to see what Kyle Shanahan has as a leader of men. I compared him numerous times, and I will continue to compare him numerous times to Mike Tomlin and the job that he has done year after year after year in Pittsburgh, regardless if it's injury, regardless if it's undrafted wide receivers, late round drafted wide receivers. The defense is always on point. Bad starts, he gets them out of it. I want to see that from Kyle Shanahan as a leader of men. And I said in this whole situation, Nick Bosa goes down, you go 1-1. I said, look here, 4-1 at the Rams game. 3-2 at worst at the Rams game. Find a way to get there, Kyle. Find a way to get there. And not only has he not gotten there, but this team looks like they're in complete disarray. They looked unprepared. It looked unmotivated. He got out-coached by Brian Flores. No disrespect, because you know we can't do that in the NFL on this show to certain coaches. So no disrespect. But you got out-coached for the second week in a row. And you out here pulling your $125 million quarterback like that's the issue? Kyle Shanahan, you guys know how I feel about him. You know I like him. You know I believe in him, but right now, you're looking funny in the light. You're looking like nothing more than a good play caller most of the time and not a leader of men. I'm going to fall back. Damian, thank you. I'm going to fall back for a second. We got a lot to talk about. Damian Barling, D-Lo, go ahead. Go ahead. We got a lot to talk about.
You all right over there, partner? I knew it was rough. I didn't know it was that rough for you. Like, I don't know that you want me to talk, man, because I don't really want to hit you with a I told you so, but I told you you got to watch this Dolphins team a little bit. Like, you know, they're 2-3 now. I know they're the Dolphins. I know we expect Ryan Fitzpatrick. Shoot, we laughed at it. We laughed at it the other day when we were looking up Ryan Fitzpatrick's numbers. He's right in that time frame where he's due for a 4, 5, 6 interception game. But there's always the opposite, right? There's always you're either going to get, what do they call them? Fitz tragic? Or you're going to get Fitz magic. And what did we get yesterday? What did we say? If y'all don't know, Kenny and I host a show called Game Day before and in most cases after every 49er football game. And, you know, it's a pregame show. And with pregame shows, you go, well, what do you want to watch for? Like it's a running theme in every we're not creative here. It's on every pregame show ever. What are you watching for? What'd I tell you, Kenny? Hey, you are excited about what? Debo back.
Mm-hmm.
George Kittle's out there. Mm-hmm. Raheem Mostert's going to be out there. Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be out there. It's going to be the first time in 5 weeks that those four guys have played together. You know what I'm watching, Kenny? I'm watching Eric Armstead. I'm watching Fred Warner. I'm watching that defensive line going against an offensive line that's kind of picking up the pieces. Every team is dealing with injuries. We saw it with Philadelphia a week ago. We continue to see it with the San Francisco 49ers. We saw it again with Miami. They've got some injuries there on that offensive line. But guess what? Their makeshift offensive line managed to take care of that highly priced San Francisco 49er defensive line pretty well. And what did that do? That put added pressure on the fifth different combination of cornerbacks that we have seen so far this season. And Ryan Fitzpatrick was able to pick them apart.
Damian, you know who you weren't looking to look for? Who you weren't looking to see, looking to watch? Brian Allen.
I understand.
Look, I mean no disrespect to this young man. All right? He did everything he could out there. He tried. I'm not gonna bring his effort into question. But you hear me
from the practice squad.
You hear me talking about? Look, you hear me talking about getting somebody off the corner of Florin and 24th. This guy might have been from the corner of, I don't know, Stockton Boulevard and Florin Road. I mean, that's what you can find. That's what you can find, John Lynch. That's what you can find, Kyle Shanahan.
Well, to be fair, that's like their fifth or sixth cornerback.
You're right about that.
He might not even be that high on the depth chart.
So let me ask you this. So, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So let's get into it. Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh. How many times does Ryan Fitzpatrick have to destroy this young man for you to help him out?
Okay, Kyle Shanahan talked about Allen yesterday. Let's hear from your coach.
Because how down we were going into the game. You know, we got him off of practice squad this week because of the injuries we had. Webster was his backup. You know, Kelly, we tried to go this week, but he was too tight to go throughout practice all week. But because of our low numbers, we still dressed him for emergency. So we were trying to hold out, see how long we could go through with that. And when Akello came up to us on the sidelines, said he wanted to go and wanted a shot, gave us a little more confidence with his hamstring, and he went in, was able to pull it off and get out of the game without tearing it. So that was the decision on it.
So there's a lot of things
trash.
Wrong.
Trash. What do you mean an emergency, bro? The season is an emergency. This game was an emergency. If he's going to be in uniform, it's time to perform. Ain't no, you can either go or you can't go. That's what I tell my guys all the time. If you can't go, tell me you can't go. But if you decide to suit up and I put you in the game, it's time to perform. Akello Weatherspoon, if you decided to suit up, if I made you active, ain't no, in case of emergency, maybe I can come. No, you're in there. This was your starting cornerback last year. And you left the season up to Brian Allen?
I'm with you on this. You can either play or you can't, and risking just acknowledged there in that clip you were worried about him getting out of this game unharmed. Yo, I know how you're feeling right now, bro. I do. It is week freaking 5, and you risked your cornerback to beat Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins. There are so many things wrong with what happened yesterday as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers, and I can boil it down simply to this, Kenny. You might not want to accept it, but this is just a bad football team. We're going to talk about that as we continue here. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's home of 49ers football. For better or for worse, ESPN 1320.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
That
of the gun. They roll Fitzpatrick and throw right of the touchdown to the backup tight end, Adam Shaheen.
Too easy.
Miami Dolphins go right down the field. A terrible start.
Yeah, that happened a lot, and the start got much worse to the tune of 43-17. Lots more to talk about right there. Right now, I want to let you know that the River City Food Bank has stepped up and become a primary source of nutrition for many students and other family members while schools remain closed. Since the shutdown, River City Food Bank has distributed 1.1 million pounds of food, which equates to roughly 945,000 meals for families facing hunger. Together, we can help students, family members, and those who are most in need. Text NEED, N-E-E-D, text NEED to 72881 to donate. All money raised goes to fund River City Bank programs, River City Food Bank programs, to help feed more families. No donation is too small. We appreciate you, and we appreciate Jiffy Lube for their absolutely amazing support, and we appreciate you for being with us here today. 49er fans, you want to chime in, you can. It's a great day to do it. We are guest free today. The phone lines are all yours. 916-349-1320. You can get us on social media as well, at D1KC and at ESPN 1320. Said to you this a moment ago, you've got to start taking into consideration the teams that this team has played, the teams that this team has beat. And you know, we've wondered, heading into this really difficult stretch that the San Francisco 49ers got coming up, with teams like the Rams coming up, teams like the Patriots are right around the corner, the Seahawks game is coming up here really soon, trying to figure out, like, win or lose yesterday, you weren't going to have any definitive answers to if the team was good. Now we feel like we have this understanding that the team is bad. And I think what we look at is, if we look at recent memory, the San Francisco 49ers haven't been a good football team. And all questions are going to point to, you know, we're going to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. You were calling out Kyle Shanahan a minute ago. We were talking about C.J. Beathard. When the fact is, this team was garbage before Jimmy Garoppolo got here and before Jimmy Garoppolo took over. And you can question Jimmy Garoppolo's accuracy. You could question a million different things about Jimmy Garoppolo if you want to. What you can't question is his win-loss total. He wins games for them. And I have some questions now that the game has been played. I have a whole lot of questions about him actually being under center yesterday. Because in basketball, you hear an high ankle sprain. Kings fans, knock on wood here. You hear De'Aaron Fox goes out with a high ankle sprain. You're not thinking he's back the following Sunday. He's not back anytime soon. You know he's out. I mean, he can probably gut it out after 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but we are talking about just that. We're talking about gutting it out. And I told you this last week, Kenny, that Philadelphia game. Losing is an incredible form of medicine. When that Sunday night football game ended, it was, oh, man, Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, I bet his ankle feels a whole lot better now at 8 o'clock than it did at 4 p.m. And That's what they did. We've got 20-second clips of him doing light drills in practice, trying to figure out if he was ready to play. And you heard Kyle Shanahan talking about him gutting it out. You heard Jimmy Garoppolo talking about gutting it out. And it appears clear that Jimmy Garoppolo shouldn't have been out there. C.J. Beathard probably should have been the starting quarterback, or Nick Mullen, or whatever Kyle Shanahan was going to do with that position. But Jimmy Garoppolo, nor Nick Mullens, no C.J. Beathard, nor Raheem Mostert gave up 43 points yesterday. You can point to Jimmy Garoppolo's turnovers, absolutely, just as you could point to Nick Mullens' turnovers the week prior. Certainly some problems there. But the fact is, this team without Nick Bosa, this team without Solomon Thomas, this team without Richard Sherman, this defense doesn't appear as if they can function without those guys. And I'm not talking about functioning, Kenny, to a respectable level. I'm talking about functioning, period. They are a bad defense with those guys out, and it is destroying their season so far.
Absolutely. I mean, and look, to a certain degree, you know, I know I got on Brian Allen in the first segment. I got to stall him out a little bit. He shouldn't be out there. You can make the argument he shouldn't be in the NFL. You know, these guys that they're picking up on the defensive end, specifically on the defensive line and in the secondary, these guys, they're not I'm just going to say they're not top flight NFL players. I'm going to refrain from disrespecting them and saying they're not NFL players at all, but they're definitely not top flight NFL players. These are guys that are literally off the scrap heap. And when you don't have a Richard Sherman, when you don't have Emmanuel Mosley, K'Juan Williams, on a defensive line, when you don't have a Bosa, when you don't have a D Ford, when you don't have DeForest Buckner because you traded him away, and when you don't have a DJ Jones who they lost in the middle of that game yesterday.
Yeah.
It's after a while, it becomes too much. It becomes too much. So I'm going to stall them out just a little bit. This ain't, when I talk about, my man's was talking to me last night, he was like, yo, you got to dead all that. This is the best roster in the NFL stuff. 100%, because this ain't the roster. This ain't what I'm talking about. I didn't say, oh, they got Brian Allen, that's why they got the best roster in the game. No, these are a bunch of guys that weren't even on the team. Practice squad guys. So, no, there's nowhere near the best roster in the game with this roster. They're nowhere near a good team with this roster. No.
Is DeForest Buckner's absence the biggest, I don't want to say the biggest loss. It's obviously the biggest loss. Is it the biggest change? Is it the biggest factor? That's the proper word. Is DeForest Buckner's loss the biggest factor in why the San Francisco 49ers are where they're at right now?
I think it's the combination of D Ford and Nick Bosa. I think that's the biggest thing that's hurting him right now, getting that pressure. Nick Bosa, who wasn't always perfect, but he was really good in the run game as well. Like, he won his matchups often.
So Buckner's loss is inconsequential?
I mean, it matters. It matters. But Javon Kinlaw hasn't been bad. DJ Jones hasn't been bad. You know, if DeForest Buckner is 100% at that position, you can make the argument that Kinlaw and DJ Jones have given you 70 to 80% of that. You know what I mean? You're not getting full Buckner. But on the field, that hasn't really been the problem, so to speak. Now, you talk about his leadership out there. That's a whole nother thing. Maybe they're missing that a lot more than what they're missing the actual play. But, I mean, I think it's Nick Bosa and D Ford. That's been the killer the most. And I thought that was something that they could deal with, they could work with, and it hasn't been that. And look, I'll even say this. I'll stall them out just a little bit because by no means – besides yesterday, have I thought that defense played bad this year? Like, even in the games that they lost, I thought they played well in the Eagles game. They just got two turnovers. Yeah. One was a pick six, and one was a turnover on their part of the field. And in the Arizona game, I mean, they held them to, 10 points for 3.5 quarters or something like that? It's not like they've been getting destroyed. They're not what they were last year, but they certainly haven't been what they were yesterday. They haven't been that.
The Arizona game, I look at a little bit differently because remember the 49ers, and it's difficult to remember, the 49ers were up late in that game. Mm-hmm. And the defense let Kyler Murray and that Cardinals offense just walk down the field.
Yeah.
With little resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that we point to in that game that was wrong, whether it was, I mean, we talked a lot about third down or lack of third down conversion. And of course, special teams play the block punt and so on. But the fact is, even we do this with the Philadelphia Eagles game. As bad as the Eagles game was, final play of the game, the San Francisco 49ers have a chance to win. Mm-hmm. You go back to the Arizona game, late in the fourth quarter, late-ish in the fourth quarter, the 49ers are up. They put it on their defense to get a stop against Kyler Murray, and they're unable to do it. And this is where the dynamics of a 16-game season come into play. Casey, because you look at what happened last year, and you went through, I mean, I've never seen a team go 8-0 and still no one buy it. You know what I mean? Like, the 49ers had won 8 games in a row, and it was like, yeah, but. Mm-hmm. There was always a yeah, but. Normally, you get to 18-0, you're talking about, oh, the 72 Dolphins, Mercury Morris. Well, like, you get all of this talk, but we're not buying this team. These fools got to the Super Bowl and people still weren't buying it. And now it's like every reason people weren't buying the San Francisco 49ers is manifesting itself this year, whether it's a different roster, whether it's injuries or whatever. Here, you know, people weren't buying the San Francisco 49ers to start the season. Mm-hmm. Like, people, you were mad at me for saying the Seahawks were going to win the NFC West. There are people who think the 49ers are going to miss the playoffs. It's because they never bought in to what they did last year, and that's how you've been conditioned. You've been conditioned that way as a football fan. In basketball, with the Timberwolves being a very recent exception, when you make the playoffs, you're normally kind of gearing in and you're going to make the playoffs for a while. Like, you've got to run. Mm-hmm. You know, great teams obviously have runs of years and years and years and years. Most teams have runs, you know, I don't know, maybe 3 years, 4 years. Five. Once they make the playoffs, you expect to be back there the following year. Memphis could wind up being, well, actually, Memphis didn't even make the playoffs. What am I talking about? They got booted out of it. But in most cases, that's what it is. In the NFL, what did we do? Hey, Kenny, I'm telling you, the stats say four in and four out. Four teams that didn't make the playoffs last year are going to make them this year, which means four teams that made the playoffs the year before aren't going to make them this year. And that's just the hard and fast rule that it's four in, four out. It's normally five or six or even as high as seven. People assume the 49ers, despite all of their success, no one took their success seriously last year. And going on, you know, revenge tour 2020.
Yeah, I never said that. That's clown behavior from the Bay Area, people who do that with the Warriors. Like,
that wasn't clown behavior. That wasn't it. Wasn't that George Kittle?
Revenge tour going.
Wasn't that George?
I hate that term.
Wasn't that George Kittle that said that? Or no?
I don't know. I heard it on Twitter. I heard it from fans. Maybe it started from George Kittle. If it started from him, it was a clown comment. Ain't no revenge tour. Ain't no, just win. Ain't no revenge tour. Just win the game.
Okay. I think what we're seeing is a team that overachieved last year. I really think that that's what the San Francisco 49ers did. They overachieved. And this happens in all sports. You need a lot of things to go your way. You need a couple of, you know, you need the ball to bounce your way a couple of times. And this happens in the NBA as well. Mm-hmm. And you need to be injury free. Last year, for the most part, they avoided catastrophic injuries. They avoided Nick Bosa being out for the year. They avoided something that's going to knock Jimmy Garoppolo out for a sustained period of time, for a lengthy period of time. And they couldn't get through week two without that happening this year. And that's the game. That's professional sports injury. Like you look at the Miami Heat. Miami Heat lost, you know, two of their marquee, or they aren't even marquee players. They lost two of their most important players to the way that they function as a team in game one of the NBA Finals. We saw it last year. Klay Thompson goes out. Kevin Durant goes out. We've seen it in years past where Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving go out in the NBA Finals. It's a part of the game, and I think that's what we're seeing with the San Francisco 49ers is maybe that roster that you thought at the beginning of the year was so deep, we're starting to find the holes in it, that it's not as deep as you thought it may have been. And you've got guys like Nick Bosa who's missing, who now – God bless him, man. He is a Sacramento native. We love him and his whole family. But is Nick Bosa, like, is he directly related to the success of Arik Armstead? Or is the focus of defenses now with Nick Bosa out being shifted to Arik Armstead, which is making his weekly impact virtually non-existent?
I mean, that has something to do with it. Yesterday, like I said, well, I don't know. Arik has played solid. He's been fine. Yesterday was...
But he played really well against Philadelphia, by the way.
Yeah, he played really... And then the two games, in the game against the Jets, I thought he stepped up, you know, and when Bosa went out and he made big plays. Thought he played good against the Giants. Yesterday, this is how I feel, D-Lo. Like, the defense has not been the issue this year. Yesterday, they got destroyed. And it was really simple. Like, yesterday was real simple. It was not complex. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick got under center and looked and said, oh, there's 48. Let's go. Drop back two, three, a five-step drop, whatever the case may be, and launch that joint right in 48's direction, and we're going to eat. Like, that's what yesterday was. It wasn't, you know, no, they didn't take advantage of the offense. There was no time to take advantage of the offensive line. Fitzpatrick, they left Brian Allen out on an island. There was no deception, whatever. It was one-on-one, and they were cooking him every single time. There was no thought behind it. Ryan didn't have to think about it at all. He just looked over there, oh, one-on-one with 48? Let's cook. Let's work. Like, that, there was nothing nobody could do except for Saleh and Kyle Shanahan to get him off of there. It was simple yesterday.
Okay. So from an offensive perspective, because if you don't believe that the defense played bad, then we're putting the, and rightfully so, you're putting the turnovers in, and you're putting your defense obviously in a horrible position in, mm-hmm. in that sense with Jimmy Garoppolo turning the ball over twice in the first half. I have to assume Kyle Shanahan was aware of, or maybe I shouldn't assume. Actually, I won't assume at all. Kyle Shanahan says he was surprised at how things turned out with Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say yesterday postgame regarding Jimmy's kind of health status.
No, I was surprised. I mean, I think it's that and the combination of how the whole game was going. You know, I knew going into it, anytime you have a high ankle sprain, that it can seem 100% better, and you get out there and you do a couple things and it comes right back. I mean, that's something that is going to linger. By no means did it keep him from playing today. But I think it hurt him from being at his best. And the way the rest of the offense was, the way the whole team was going today, I didn't think it was good to keep him out there in the second half with that score and everything, and that he wasn't at his best. And that's why I made that decision.
I know when it rains, it pours. But I feel like Kyle Shanahan just equated a high ankle sprain to like a bad cough. Like, you think it's gone, and then all of a sudden, like, it returns out of nowhere. But here's a question for you in your offensive genius head coach here. You know, regardless of how surprised you are by how the game developed, how surprised you are by the ankle acting up and all of that, you know you're coming off of an injury with your quarterback, right? You know that you're still working things out with Deebo Samuel. You know you got all of these guys out there. But perhaps most importantly, because we heard all last week from Kyle Shanahan himself about how dynamic Raheem Mostert is to this offense, about how he changes everything for the quarterback, about how he changes everything for play calling, about how he changes everything overall for the San Francisco 49ers offense. Why not give him the ball all freaking half over and over and over again? Why not do that?
Because you can't win that way. They're putting 7-8 in the box. You can't win. And you want to know why? Your offensive line has been trash.
Okay,
that's why you can't
story.
Do it.
That's
why you can't control the game with your run. Your offensive line has been an embarrassment.
You're not wrong, and that's something that we need to get to. That might be the biggest problem of the entire year right now is that offensive line. 11 carries, 90 yards. What are you telling me he can't do it?
You can't. You're down 28-7.
Yards. Give the man the ball.
You're down 28-7 at some point.
I'm
like, you got to be able to move it in the air.
I'm talking about at the beginning of the game. I'm talking about the game plan being to give the ball to Raheem Mostert. Start the game and give the ball to this guy who you spent the last 2 weeks telling us that he is a dynamic game changer for your entire offense. Feed him. Give him the ball. Treat him like he's Ezekiel Elliott. Treat him like he's any other marquee back in there in the league.
Either. That's not who he is either.
He's 11 carries, 90 yards.
He played great. He was the only one that played worth a damn yesterday.
Then give
absolutely.
Him the ball.
A lot of that was what? Didn't he have a 50-yard run or something like that?
Yeah, 37.
37, like he had a big run. So I'm not going to say he didn't play well, but a lot of it was that. By the time you got into
a
situation, you have to throw the ball at some point. You have to throw the ball at some point.
I feel like they went in with the game plan of let's make Jimmy Garoppolo do this instead of let's going in with the game plan and work Jimmy into this and let Raheem Mostert carry us the way. See, and I guess the issue is, and maybe this is where I'm being naive, Kenny, is both of those guys are coming off of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go back to what I said to you a second ago, and I'm sorry for being repetitive for those who have been kind enough to be with us since 12. We greatly appreciate you. Losing is medicine. And suddenly you start feeling better. But it's, you know what? That's probably the wrong way of putting it. Losing isn't medicine. Losing is a cortisone shot. Losing hides the pain. It's like, oh, you know what? This ain't so bad. I could play. Coming off of the Philadelphia Eagles win that game, we're going to take things a little bit more conservatively with Raheem Mostert and Jimmy Garoppolo. But the 49ers lost, and all of a sudden we need to get two of our playmakers back out there. Maybe him being Raheem Mostert, coming off of that injury affected the way that they called that game. But if you start out establishing, hey, our dynamic playmaker, our home run hitter, the guy who changes our offense, he's back. And I'm talking about Raheem Mostert. Now you're going to start keying on him. Watch how we get Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle involved. Oh, Deebo Samuel as well. Oh, how about Brandon Ayuk? Let's get him involved also.
Even then, Damian, how many times did I say I wanted Raheem to touch the ball? 15 to 20?
15.
He touched it 11. It's not like they gave it to him twice. Well, he had 11 carries. Like they were down 27-7. He's not going to get 30 carries or 30 touches when you're down by three touchdowns.
Because you're talking about them already going down when it doesn't appear the game plan was to ever feed him heavily. They need to feed. Weren't they a running team last year?
Yeah, when they had an offensive line that was worth a damn.
So what happened to the offensive line? Let's segue into that. Let's hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say about his O-line.
I was happy with the week that they had. And I thought they came out and, you know, I thought we run blocked well. And I thought we got way too one-dimensional in some of the situations we got in the pass game, which puts them in a very tough situation, one we weren't in very many times last year at all. And we were definitely in it for most of the game today, pretty much the entire second half. And I definitely expect those guys to do better. And I know we can help them with staying in some better situations, which doesn't make it easy. But just as the offense as a whole, not just the O-line, I mean, from the receivers to the quarterback to tight ends to running back to every single coach, it was very disappointing today.
So?
They've got to be better. And it's as simple as that. But look, they need to look in the mirror. They need to be. I'm not saying they're not. Look, I understand that they're upset, but they need to get their minds right, because a lot of the time, so I'll put a lot of it on Kyle Shanahan with what happened yesterday and all this other stuff and the way he set everything up. But I'm also a big believer that there were a number of times when it's like, look, Kyle Shanahan could put you in whatever position he wants to put you in. You got a job. Keep this guy from getting by you. Keep this guy from getting around you. And they didn't execute it. Simple as that. Like, and really on the offensive line, to me, and somebody, I'm not a trenches guru. So somebody wants to call in 916-349-1320 and explain it a little more in depth if they think that I'm wrong, please feel free to do so. But a lot of times on the offensive line, you've got a job. Block the guy in front of you. If it's a pass play, don't let this guy get around you. Simple. Like, real simple. And there's too many times when I saw Trent Williams, who I had high hopes for, embarrassing what I saw from him in the pass protection a couple times yesterday. Just embarrassing. And it goes back to what we saw last Sunday against Philadelphia. Like, these are just man-on-man type things, man. And it's nasty right now on the offensive line. Nasty.
Okay. 916-349-1320 at D'Lo and KC on Twitter. The lines you talked about in the trenches, guru, trying to evaluate offensive lines is a unique thing, because I just tried to, you know, pad what I was saying about Arik Armstead and talking about Trent Williams is probably the perfect example on the offensive side. If you've got one guy who you know is a, what, seven-time Pro Bowl, you're game planning for Trent Williams, right? Like, you were game planning for Nick Bosa. Arik Armstead's very, very good at his job. Nick Bosa was a game changer at his job. The defenses were centering everything around against the defense with Nick Bosa. That was their, okay, we're going to build here and spread out. Now they could potentially do that with Arik Armstead. Now you could do it with Fred Warner, though. I think you're probably going the Armstead route. I wonder how many defensive lines are doing that with Trent Williams. We're going to work our way around the seven, because if I'm watching tape, I'm looking at McGlinchey going, let's attack that side. Let's go over there, because he's been prone to letting guys slip by him on more occasions than not so far this year.
Tell me if I'm reading you wrong, but I am not giving Trent Williams that pass.
I'm not trying to give him a pass.
No, there ain't no scheming involved with some of the stuff I've seen. It is one on one, mano a mano, and he's losing. He's losing. Ain't no scheme involved. There's a defensive line, a guy on the defensive line matched up with Trent Williams, saying I'm gonna beat you, and he's doing it. There ain't no scheming involved. There ain't no trickeration. There ain't no stunts. Nothing. One-on-one, he's losing.
Well, if that's the case, then the team just isn't good. Because those aren't – I mean, if you're just getting beat one-on-one, those aren't correctable mistakes, are they? You're just not as good as the other guy in front of you.
I don't know what the deal is, because we've seen them be better. We've seen, whether it's here in San Francisco or another time in their career, We've seen them be able to get those type of stops and do those type of things. They're not doing it. And that's why I say they got to look in the mirror. They got to soul search. If I'm Trent Williams, if I'm Mike McGlinchey, and I'm not saying they are doing this, I'm not looking at no coaches right now because I know I'm not playing up to my capabilities. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do at my job, and I need to look in the mirror. And after I look in the mirror, then I need to get with my teammates on that offensive line and figure out, we all need to look in the mirror here. What can we do as a group? Because we're not getting it done.
So what now? That's got to be the question. There's so many problems. What to address first? You hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say. And there is good news for another localish area football team. How about the Raiders' victory over the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll talk about that. We still got a lot of time left here. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
To Pittsburgh, Jimmy back on third down will throw high, and it is intercepted there by Howard, the corner, running back the other way, 30-20. McKinnon will lay him out, but Jimmy has second interception, and this one is a bad overthrow.
It was a Sunday full of lowlights for the San Francisco 49ers. You know what, KC? It was a weekend full of lowlights for Sacramento area sports fans. Yo, I mean, what about what happened to the Republic?
Come on. What was that?
How does that eat? I'm not going to pretend like I'm hashtag soccer guy. I'm not. Like, I'm hyped for the Republic. I'm hyped for the Storm. I'm hyped for everything Sacramento. I know you can't do that.
There's no review in place. There's review in every sport in America right now, in the world. And there's no review in place for that. Playoffs on the line.
You know, someone sent me a video of a dude saying, like, he's on the sideline going, yeah, I turned and he's like making the motion of punching the ball in. It's like, oh, crazy. So y'all just in soccer, y'all just let it ride. Like, okay,
just let it ride. Let it go. You know, Damien, I mean, this weekend.
All love to the Republic.
Shout out to them for sure. Always.
Man, they had a hell of a season, and that's not the way it should have ended.
We're ready for what's to come in the coming years. We're getting geared up, no doubt about it. Yep. But you know, this weekend, Damien, it's just kind of, I don't know. It just reminds me. Sometimes I have these moments when it's like, why do we even like sports? Why do we even follow sports? Nothing good happened. All right, my Niners get smacked around. They get backhanded up and down Levi Stadium. The Republic get robbed out of a playoff win. Look. I love LeBron James. I'm happy for him, but I don't like the Los Angeles Lakers, and they running around winning another championship. Don't nobody want to see that, all right? And then on top of that, you got the Raiders. I could care less about the Raiders. Like I tell Raider fans all the time, y'all be like really turned up about this Raider 49er thing. You guys are probably third or fourth down the pecking order of what a 49er fan cares about. We don't really care about what's going on with the Raiders. But yet they win their little game, and I'm getting texts, and I'm getting tweets, and people mentioning me, and I got to hear all this nonsense. Like the Raiders haven't been good for my entire life. But on Sunday, they want to holler at me. It just seems like it would just be so much simpler if the only thing I had to worry about, you know, for entertainment was like the Masked Singer or Swamp People. You know what I'm saying? And not sports. It would have been much more pleasant.
Never heard of Swamp People.
You've never heard of Swamp People?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you
I'm not a big TV
out.
Watcher.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big Swamp People. Which, I'm not going to say it's like the best show in the world, but it's watchable.
I love that you're agitated at all of this and just knowing like behind the scenes notes, and everybody's picked up on this. One of your closest friends, our partner on the Be Her podcast platform is Jason Jones, who is both a Laker fan and a Raider fan. So I imagine your text thread had a hell of a time of muting his text. You could not mute his text fast enough, but. Give credit where credit is due, no matter how you feel about the Las Vegas Raiders, man. They came to play, and I bought in on them on week one, and it was feed Josh Jacobs the ball. Feed Josh Jacobs the ball. Well, they didn't exactly do that, but Derek Carr yesterday, the Raiders' offense had five plays that gained 40-plus yards. And how about this stat? Five, Kenny. Five plays that gained 40-plus yards. And how about this from Derek Carr? He finished Sunday's game 3 of 3 with 2 touchdowns on passes that went 35 yards downfield. I'm not talking about 28 yards yak. I'm talking about 35 yards down the field. He had gone 22 straight games without such a completion. He showed out yesterday.
That boy was balling. That boy was balling. Derek Carr did his thing yesterday, man. Shout out to the Raiders and getting a big win out there in Kansas City. But please, Raider fans, stop texting me. Wasn't nobody texting me last week when you stunk it up against the Bills. All right, when Derek Carr was fumbling all over the place, wasn't nobody hollering at me. Please stop texting me when you win one game.
Raider fans, please continue to text Kenny Caraway. If you don't have his personal number, at IMKDiddy will suffice. If you'd like to use the show line, that is fine as well. At D'Lo and KC, we got love for all Raider fans. And
I've never seen a good Raiders team. Never in my life. I've never seen a good Raiders team. The only good team got stomped in the Super Bowl. I ain't never seen no good Raiders team. And they want to tweet me and text me after they beat the Chiefs to go to 3-2. Man, please.
Kenny wants to hear from all Raider fans today at IMKDiddy. Patrick Mahomes, 9 career losses. Okay, that's not the stat. The stat is the Chiefs have averaged 31.3 points per game in those losses.
Wow.
That doesn't even sound possible, but it is. Wow. 31.3 points per game in Patrick Mahomes' 9 career losses. He doesn't lose to the AFC West very often.
Did you see that stat yesterday, like in the last 30 games? That was crazy.
Yeah, that is something that just does not happen very often. And as a matter of fact, the Raiders did a great job yesterday. The Raiders deserve a lot of credit. They got to Patrick Mahomes. They frustrated him. They made him uncomfortable. He still made some of the most phenomenal plays you'll ever see. But that's just how great he is. Mm-hmm. The Raiders, whether they were Oakland or Las Vegas, entered Sunday's game. This is for all of you gamblers out there. 1-19 as a double-digit underdog in the last 10 seasons. 1-19.
Wow.
Your Las Vegas
slash. That was a great win for them, though, man.
It really was.
I don't really even have personal feelings about it, but, you know, that was a great win. That was a really good win. That's something that you can get excited about. You beat the defending champions. Derek Carr was balling. They were throwing that thing all around the field. And the Chiefs' real defense showed up finally. It took them about 5-6 games, but this is the Chiefs' defense we all know and love, and they got torched yesterday.
It's only Patrick Mahomes' 2nd loss in 15 career starts against AFC West opponents, and he has yet to lose a game by more than 1 score in his entire career, and that counts the playoffs. That is 41 starts for Patrick Mahomes. There aren't enough stats to talk about how incredible Patrick Mahomes is as a quarterback.
People were talking about the stat that I was talking about that they showed on the game was in the last 30 games, 30 divisional games, the Kansas City Chiefs against the AFC West, 28-2 in the last 30 games. People talk about like the Patriots dominance and the AFC East and all this other stuff. That is crazy. 28-2 in your last 30 divisional games? Wow, they're 28-3 now. But even that's I'll take 28-3.
Right.
That's crazy.
Still rather impressive. 22 completions for Derek Carr, 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. 22 completions for Patrick Mahomes, 340 yards, 2 touchdown, 1 interception. It was like looking into a mirror. That was sarcasm, everybody. He is a slightly grumpy Kenny Caraway. I am Damian Barling. We are both so thrilled that you are with us. You want to jump in on these phone lines, you can. 916-349-1320. Ramsey has been waiting patiently. Ramsey, what's good, my brother?
Ramsey.
Not too much. First and foremost, I want to give a shout-out, a rest in peace, 2020 sucks, to Oakland's own Joe Morgan, unfortunately passed away last night.
Yeah, R.I.P. for sure.
Yeah, but speaking of Oakland or now Las Vegas, that was a beautiful football game yesterday that the Raiders put forth. And I was speaking with people I know, built morale with Derek Carr, not with the throwing, but when he got a couple of fourth down conversions with the quarterback sneak, especially with the last play before the 2-minute, or right after the 2-minute warning, when I personally thought you could have punted because you would have gave Patrick Mahomes a much larger field.
Yeah.
But he got the first down and they iced the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they beat mm-hmm. – and two of the three teams that they beat are, quote-unquote, teams that made the playoffs last year in the Saints and the Chiefs. But, again, every season is different. We don't know – I mean, we don't know what we have in the Saints, especially coming tonight on Monday Night Football. And, I mean, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I mean, that was the first time the Chiefs had lost in almost a year since they lost
13,
to the Titans in November.
Yeah, 13 straight games.
That was a big time win, man.
That was well done by the Raiders. Anything else for us, Ramsey?
Not. I'm a leave the San Francisco stuff alone. Kenny said enough, and Damien, you summed it up perfectly with your assessment of that football team.
They're just not very good, and I think that's where they're at right now. Ramsey, we always appreciate you. Thank you, buddy. We're looking
good
forward
looking
to
it.
Take care.
Yeah, looking forward to some of your thoughts here as the league championship series get underway. We've got to get back to the 49ers, man. You know what? Before we do, you think Mike Zimmer was watching that game yesterday?
Oh, my goodness.
You think Mike Zimmer might have been watching what John Gruden was doing yesterday and thought, you know what? Aha! Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna try that. Are you kidding me? My man Madman Leak, he talked about it last night on Twitter, talking about he wanted us to give Zimmer the full D-Lo and KC experience after what we saw yesterday. That was a joke. That was a fireable offense from somebody that really, I mean, he's showing you that he's not going to get you to the promised land. We all know that's the case. And then you could top it off with that embarrassing, ridiculous decision to go for it on 4th and 1 from like the 7. All right, when a field goal would have put you up by 8. You can't lose in regulation going up by 8.
So that's
goes for it on 4th and 1. Once again, what did Seattle, everybody knew he was running the ball. That was garbage. Borderline fireable offense. I'm serious, Damon. It was terrible.
Okay. I think you might be in a little emotional right now. The remnants is, thank God, by the way, you talk about you often hear about sports gods and football gods. How about scheduling gods? We had game 6 of the NBA Finals on ESPN 1320, and that is the only reason we didn't have to come on the air following the Dolphins and the 49ers, and I believe the scheduling gods thought that there was a reason for that, that perhaps Kenny Caraway, that close to the end of the game, might have been a bad idea.
Oddly enough, I think I'm more upset right now than I was at like 6 o'clock yesterday. Yeah, at 6 o'clock yesterday, I just didn't have any words, really. Now I got all the words.
So it would have been a post-game show of me and Kenny just sitting there, just completely dumbfounded.
Just stewing. And now it's reached its boiling point today at 12 p.m.
So, okay, I'm not terribly upset at Zimmer's call. The one thing that gives me pause is you couldn't have lost. Like, you literally can't lose the game. Of course, there's the scenario where they kick a field goal and they missed and the whole, like, I understand that. But in reality, from the what would you say it was 7, 6 yards?
Something
they went,
like that.
They went 94 yards, so it was the 6-yard line.
Yeah.
You weren't going to lose. Now, what you
not regulation hear, at least
you hear the phrase, well, you're not playing to win or this team was playing just not to lose. I get that. But at the same time, if I'm a coach and I say, yo, 1 yard and Russell Wilson, the MVP of the 2020 season, doesn't see the ball, I don't know that I wouldn't bet on it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big
terrible
fan of. I again, the thing I just can't get past is you weren't going to lose the game. Like, it's not like there's an and one at the end of the two-point conversion where you get the two-point conversion and an extra point. Like, you weren't going to lose.
If it's a three-point game and a field goal puts you up 6, makes more sense. In this situation, 5-point game, field goal puts you up 8.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm typically aggressive in those situations. I'm typically like, yo, let's go for the kill, all this other stuff. That was just dumb. That was dumb.
DK
Stupid.
Metcalf is my new favorite wide receiver. I love that dude. I love DK Metcalf, man. He is something special. That was Russell Wilson's 6th career go-ahead touchdown pass in the final minute of regulation, breaking a tie with blank for most in the NFL since he debuted in 2012. Kenny Caraway for the grand prize. Who is blank?
What, read that again. His 6th?
His sixth career go-ahead touchdown pass in the final minute of regulation, breaking a tie with who?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, stop it.
Jimmy Garoppolo has like eight come-from-behind victories in the fourth quarter or something like that.
Who's a better quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo or the guy that Russell Wilson broke the tie with?
Who's
Matt Stafford.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy Garoppolo's better. I got both sides of Jimmy Garoppolo in just a second. We'll get into it. Matt Stafford's really good though. I like Matt Stafford. He's good.
That's a tough one. That's a tough. I just don't know what to do with that Detroit Lions team. Quite honestly, I don't know what to do with the San Francisco 49ers team either. And I don't know that. I don't know that Kyle Shanahan does either. He's asked, yo, what do you do after a game like this? What's next?
Watch the film.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Here
we go.
Okay. Oh, sorry. That was a flashback. My bad. Hold on. Let me let this play.
Watch the film. See exactly what happened, which got a pretty good idea about it. But you detail it up. You show the guys specifically where we can get better. You try to get guys who are missing healthy. And then you challenge all your best players. I mean, we need our best players to play at their best. I think we need to get some guys back who have been starting to come back, but haven't really got enough practices in to where I could see it today, just conditioning and stuff. We got to get healthier so we can get out there and practice more, because I saw some guys get tired that made it really tough to throw the ball there for the second half. And I just got to keep my thumb on everyone. There's nothing to sit here and feel sorry about yourself. You got to be ready for what you're going to get, and it's well deserved. But we got to close the doors, go out to the field, and go to work. And you either get better or worse. And if we don't get better, it's going to be a long season.
Oh, he's not wrong about that. He is not wrong about that. It's going to be a long 4 or 5 weeks. It's going to be a long stretch into the bye in week 11 if they don't get better and get better quickly.
Let me talk about Jimmy Garoppolo for a quick second. All right, because there's things going on both sides of the equation. Yesterday, Jimmy was not good. He was not good. He was throwing ducks all over the place. I don't remember Jimmy throwing one good pass yesterday. He was not good, right? But, you know, you've got this situation where people and Kyle Shanahan or whatever are talking about that his ankle wasn't right. You know, some people say maybe he shouldn't even played with that ankle or whatever the case may be. Damien, I think you know what I'm about to say when it comes to injuries. I ain't trying to hear it. If you get out there, you need to execute. Period. Period. If you step on the field, if you say, I can go, I'm expecting you to execute. Bottom line, Jimmy didn't execute. So then on the flip side, you got Kyle Shanahan taking him out at halftime, benching him, whether it's for the play, whether it's to protect him, whatever he said, whatever the case may be. And immediately, I've heard a lot of people pick up on this, but I need my roses for this right now. Immediately, I heard people talking about when George Seifert did that to Steve Young in 1994 when the Eagles in week 5 came into Candlestick and beat the 49ers 40-8. That was the same year they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And Steve Young let George Seifert have it. Absolutely let him have it. He didn't like get in his face, so it wasn't chest to chest or nothing like that for all you young kids that weren't aware of this thing. But he went to the sidelines and he was probably about a social distancing away from George Seifert. And he was yelling and cursing and getting his mind off, saying it into the air, but we all know it was close enough so Seifert could hear every word he had to say. And Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday got pulled, got benched. As this is, once again, I said at the beginning, Shanahan said 10 days ago, this is Jimmy's team. And you take me out of the game? I don't care what the score is. You take me out of the game at halftime? No, you need to hear about it. Whether that's, like I said, I'm 10 feet away and I'm yelling to the quarterback's coach, but I'm really talking to Kyle, or a teammate and I'm really talking to Kyle, or I'm knocking over Gatorade bottles and all this other stuff. You need to hear from me. You need to hear how I feel about what you did, about you taking me out of this game. And in the actual moment, I just see Jimmy sitting there with his mask on, looking at his wristband, all this other stuff. Not that he had ultimate control, but he just let it happen. He just let it happen yesterday. And that's weak. That's weak.
Okay.
I'm not feeling that.
I hear you. Yo, dude, maybe he wasn't healthy.
I'm not hearing that, man. I'm really not hearing that. You came out there to play. You gave it a go. I appreciate that, or whatever the case may be. It's winning time, man. There's too many times I've seen quarterbacks not at 100%, whether it's a shoulder, whether it's a knee, whether it's an ankle, Big Ben Roethlisberger, all this other stuff. I've seen other quarterbacks do it, whatever the case may be, and they gut it out. I'm not calling Jimmy's toughness into question because he's a tough quarterback. I've seen it a number of different times.
Yeah, I thought we put that to rest when he played on this ankle.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. But I'm not coming out. Or if I'm coming out, I'm not just sitting there sheepishly. At the very least, you gonna know I ain't trying to come out of here, man. I'm not. Like, I'm gonna be pissed off about it. I'm knocking over Gatorade bottles, Gatorade cups, all this other stuff, because you need to know I feel some type of way about you making this decision. Now, Kyle Shanahan, you're the coach. You make what's best for the team in your opinion, and you don't worry about all that other stuff. But if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, you need to know how I feel about you taking me out of this game.
Well, not everybody reacts like that, though. Not everybody has those anger issues of knocking over Gatorade cups and flipping over tables. And it's like the old, who was it, man? Was it Steve Harvey who was talking about OJ sitting in the courtroom and OJ didn't act like he didn't do it? Like he said, let somebody tell me I did all this. I'm jumping up. I'm flipping over tables. I'm like, what? I'm mouthing all of this stuff to the jury. I'm doing all of that. See, that's just different personalities. Some coaches yell, some don't. Some players yell, some don't. Some people react a certain way. I got to believe I just don't believe that Garoppolo was healthy enough to be in this game. Now,
he wasn't 100%. He was healthy enough to be in that game.
That's a bold call to be making from Sacramento, California. That is a bold call.
I've seen him play. I saw him play.
You saw him play poorly.
He didn't look anything like he did when he hurt it in week two. Week two, yeah, he wasn't healthy enough to play. They had to pull him up out of there. Yesterday, I saw him moving around. Was he 100% healthy? No. Am I saying the ankle didn't bother him at all? I'm sure it did.
So you think the 49ers
I need you to produce.
So the 49ers have a better chance to win if Jimmy Garoppolo stays in?
Over C.J. Beathard, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
They were damn near. I mean, 9 of 18, 7 of 17, 94 yards versus 77 yards. I mean, I don't know what you want to do with either one of those numbers. They're completely inconsequential here at this point.
CJ's not the franchise. Jimmy's your franchise quarterback, regardless of how anybody feels about it. Yeah, he is, because there ain't nothing you can do about it. He's the franchise quarterback. There ain't nothing you can do about it. He's the guy. You, Damien, any 49er fan, people who think he's no good, bottom line is he's the guy. You can't do nothing to the draft at least. And when you go into the draft, you're not starting no quarterback as a rookie. He's the guy.
I'm a broadcast journalist. I'm just asking questions here. You're saying he's a franchise quarterback, but then you're talking about the draft.
The franchise quarterback. He's this team, this franchise quarterback.
Which means he is the quarterback for the foreseeable future.
Yes. Ain't nothing you can do about it. What you going to do? Go to C.J. Beathard? No.
No, you get through the year.
So with all the problems that we talked about, this offensive line that can't do anything, they can't protect anybody. You're going to draft, let's not even say they're not even going to get the number one pick. So with the worst case scenario, 12th pick, you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round with all the holes? You don't have a secondary. You don't have a cornerback that can come in here and do anything. You're out here getting Brian Allen. You're going to draft a quarterback? No. So you're probably going to have a second rounder or a third rounder at best. And to expect them to come in here and do a Russell Wilson and come in here as a rookie, as a third round rookie, all right, to take you to the NFC Championship game, it's a pipe dream, man. And then what's really a pipe dream, if you're asking me, is the ability for Kyle Shanahan to evaluate quarterbacks, because he's the same guy that spent the third rounder on C.J. Beathard, who wasn't going to get drafted and is no good. So now we want to trust Kyle Shanahan to draft the quarterback of the future? I don't know. I don't know about that.
Why not free agency? Dak Prescott might be available.
Dak, all due respect, Dak Prescott can't even walk right now.
Yeah, that's right now. That's right now. 4 to 6 months, man. He'd be ready to go. Maybe Jerry's going to use this as a bargaining chip. You know Jerry's going to do this, use this as a bargaining chip because he's a slime ball. Kenny's just shaking his head at me. We'll step out.
Jimmy's the quarterback, man, and you need to treat him as such. This press conference that Kyle Shanahan has today, I need to hear something, man. You need to fix what you did yesterday because you messed that up.
Let's dig into the NBA Finals a little bit. We'll do that. Plus, some overreactions here on a Monday, including the best division in football, no longer the NFC West. We'll explain this. D'Lo and KC. Oh, you heard me. D'Lo and KC continue here on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
So thrilled that you're here with us. Quick reminder, all Raider fans, please find Kenny Caraway on Twitter at IMKDiddy or at D'Lo and KC. Raider fans, Kenny Caraway wants to hear.
I don't block nobody on socials. If you Raider fans come in my mentions, I may start blocking.
Give him the Dikembe Mutombo?
Yeah.
You ain't blocking nobody. Yeah. You all talk. 916-349-1320. Tall Skinny Ben says, biggest concern for the team right now, the offensive line. 49ers have been decimated by injuries, and teams aren't feeling sorry for them. Shanahan, Saleh, step up, devise a game plan for strengths, weaknesses of the team. I still believe this is a playoff team.
Yes, let me channel it. Good old Jim Mora. Playoffs. Don't talk to me about playoffs. I'm just hoping we can win a game. Playoffs.
That's your best impersonation, but you got the point across. You definitely got the point across.
Thank you.
We'll get back to the NFL. We'll get back to the San Francisco 49ers and all of that. An NBA champion was crowned last night. And it was NBA champion was crowned somewhere probably midway through the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like it was about a 44-minute long celebration for the Los Angeles Lakers out there on the floor. LeBron James, of course, gets his fourth NBA title, his third franchise that he's led one to. Him and Danny Green actually join Robert Horry and John Sally as the only players in NBA history to win a championship with three different franchises. He's the fourth player to win finals MVP at the age of 35 or older, joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, and, of course, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Hell of a performance for the Lakers. Hell of a performance for LeBron James, who unanimously won the MVP award, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to think that anything other than beating the record-setting Golden State Warriors with the story of being back in Cleveland, it's hard for me to think any NBA Finals victory is more impressive than that one. But this one is phenomenal for entirely different reasons. Obviously, we just crowned an NBA champion on October 12th. That's unique and hopefully never, ever happens again. It also the pause of the pandemic, navigating through social issues, living in a bubble for, over 3 months, the challenges that all of this NBA restart had, it just makes this all the more impressive. And what shouldn't be lost is, you can look at this in two different ways. The Lakers were favored at least to represent the West or favored to at least play the Los Angeles Clippers. They were favored to get this far. Whether you thought they were going to beat the Clippers or whether you thought that they were going to be in the NBA Finals or win the NBA Finals, not is irrelevant. They were expected to be there late. As a matter of fact, every time LeBron James steps on a basketball floor, every time a season starts for whatever team he is on, this is the expected result. And anything short of the result that he got yesterday is considered a failure. So the fact that the Lakers and LeBron James were able to navigate all of those issues that we just laid out and still win the NBA championship, I think is pretty freaking impressive. No matter how you feel about the Lakers, and we haven't even mentioned, you know, what happened back in January with Kobe Bryant and all of those people and Gigi and everyone else who were lost in that helicopter crash. Like, you factor all of that in, you go back China, you know, which happened almost a year ago to the day. Just a phenomenal, just incredible, I think, not only what the NBA did, but the fact that the Lakers were able to lock in, keep their poise, and still wind up with this result. I think they should be commended for it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a well-deserved championship for the Los Angeles Lakers, well-deserved championship for LeBron James. I think I don't put an asterisk or nothing like that. I think that it came with its own set of hurdles, like you just talked about. It's not the same. There's a little bit of Scottie Pippen in there, where there are things in a regular season that they didn't have to go through that could have made it more difficult, whether it's the travel, playing on road arenas and road games and things of that nature. Yeah, that's very true, and I subscribe to that theory as well. But I don't use that to knock them or knock LeBron James for this championship, because they had their own, like I said, their own set of hurdles that they had to get by. The being in the bubble, the pandemic itself, having to gear up. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, because while typically in a regular season you wouldn't have that time to get your body and get your mind right to gear up for the playoffs, and they had, what, about 3 months to kind of rest, get themselves geared up for this bubble. Who knows what they had available to them in this bubble when it comes to practice and, you know, and all this other stuff. Like, it was a totally different set of circumstances, and I don't think – one is more is tougher than the other. They're just different levels of tough.
It's a championship, and it shouldn't be looked upon as anything other than a team, you know, winning a championship. I still wouldn't rank this above what he did for Cleveland against that Golden State Warrior
absolutely
team.
Not.
But this is an entirely different set of circumstances that no basketball player has ever had to navigate before, and you know, no professional at, well, I take that back. The only person who maybe ever had to navigate anything remotely close is maybe Bill Russell when we were living in an entire, well, not an entirely different world, but when we were living in a different world, and he had circumstances of his own that he had to navigate. But that was one guy. That wasn't an entire league. That wasn't an entire team. LeBron is, he's, you know, people will spend all of today, and we've had 10 push notifications just since the show started at 12. Of everybody pushing out there, you know, LeBron James versus Michael Jordan article. The one thing that I'll always say about LeBron James that I find absolutely extraordinary is that he played his first game here at the Arco Arena, and I remember the excitement for it, and I remember thinking, you know, seeing him as the chosen one on the cover of Sports Illustrated and watching his high school games going, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen. There is absolutely no way he can live up to these expectations. Like, this is just an insane amount of pressure to put on this young man. And to see, you know, the floor at the Arco Arena that day, where it's just hundreds and hundreds of media members surrounding this then 18-year-old kid. And for him to surpass and, like, exceed every expectation that's been put in front of him, every expectation that we had 17 years ago when he debuted at the Golden One Center, or at the Arco Arena, excuse me, and for him to actually, you know, just crush all of those expectations is, to me, just the greatest thing about him. When you measure his greatness, or you try to talk about what a great player he is, you can't leave out the fact that everybody expected him to be great. Everybody said he was going to be great. They said he was the second coming of this, the second coming of that. And meanwhile, he's been better than anybody could have predicted.
We've never seen anything like it. We never will see anything like it. I hesitate to say that my son's generation will never see anything like it. When you talk about a guy who was hyped unlike anybody we've ever seen before. And like you mentioned, not only met those expectations, but is better than advertised. Better than advertised for being called the chosen one. He was called the chosen one at 16 years old, and he's better than being the chosen one.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I've never seen anything like this again.
The only guy who I think has a comp, and this is not something I lived through, this is just reading about it, The only guy that I think has an even remote comp to LeBron James, and still it's an entirely different time, is an entirely different era. It's Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
True.
Like his, like he, but again, it was an entirely different sports landscape than it was when LeBron debuted 17 years ago. And it's an entirely different landscape 17 years ago than it is here in 2020. But that was a incredible accomplishment by LeBron Anthony Davis. Frank Vogel.
Yes. Shout out to him.
Shout out to Rich Paul.
Yes, sir.
Who represents six Los Angeles Lakers, including LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, no, shout out to all those guys. They deserve all the credit in the world. I was just going back onto the Prodigy thing, and in my lifetime, only two athletes come to mind as far as being prodigies and seeing it all the way through and living up to, and that's LeBron James and Floyd Mayweather. Mm. And I know I had this conversation maybe a couple months ago and people were bringing up different people. Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds might be on that list, but there's the whole steroids allegation that kind of muddies those waters. But Barry was unbelievable, like unbelievable in his day. People talk about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods didn't finish it through. Tiger didn't finish it through. Barry Bonds didn't win championships. LeBron James, Floyd Mayweather, from start to finish, were better than what they were projected to be at 12 years old. At 12 years old, they were supposed to be prodigies. And these guys are better than what we thought. It's only those two, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and it's why, you know, when I Zion Williamson went through the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like he was starting to be talked about his sophomore year in high school. Then he was getting television games his junior year. Obviously, he was a phenom his senior year, and then his 1 year in college. And it's like, to expect him to be able to do what we just saw, because Kevin Garnett wasn't what LeBron is. Dwight Howard wasn't what LeBron. You know, it wasn't the same measure of even. You know, Allen Iverson wasn't. Like, there are so many, you know, Kobe certainly wasn't. I mean, there's just no one that you can compare LeBron James to. And, you know, the book isn't over. Like, every time LeBron does something, we act like we just finished the last chapter of the book. And the fact is, Anthony Davis has a decision to make here. I don't think he has a real decision to make, but, you know, in terms of paper, he does, and it's whether he's going to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers or not. Of course, we're all of the belief that he's going to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers, but the point that I'm trying to make here is this is a team that could very well just be back here next year, and that's going to be the expectation. As long as LeBron James puts on a uniform, this isn't the Washington Wizards number 23. Mm-mm. Like, this is LeBron James winning the MVP award last night unanimously. This is LeBron James having a triple-double in the last game of the season. This is LeBron James having, like, I think it was like 28, 11 and a half, and 8.5 through the NBA Finals. The expectation is LeBron James is going to be in the finals next year. And this, you know, the book's not over. Story's not finished.
We're going to talk about this in just a little bit. But in my opinion, they're the favorites to come out of the West again next year. I know people are talking about Golden State and all this other stuff. Maybe formidable, whatever the case may be. But the Lakers are the favorites. And the Lakers actually may get better because they've got a ton of money coming off the books. I know they got to pay AD or whatever the case may be. But they're going to have some wiggle room to possibly get a third player. When AD got there, a lot of people believed that this year was the year they were going to kind of struggle and have to piece it together, and next year would be the time they'd have, be able to put something with AD and LeBron. Well, they got a championship in the piece together year. Now they may be able to add something through trade or through free agency. So they could get better, man.
You said something a minute ago that I want to go back to real quick. You talked about the two teams. You talked about all of the teams. You talked about the league having those kind of like three months, 4 months off to prepare for the bubble. Like, you've got to go back in that time and remember, we didn't know that this was happening. Like, we weren't positive. I mean, I'd argue in March, April, more people thought than not that the NBA season was over. And I don't think it was until May where it was like, okay, this might happen, but Adam Silver's not committing to anything yet. He doesn't believe he has to commit to anything. And then it got like late May where it was like, okay, this is going to happen. And then I believe it was the beginning of June that, or somewhere around there, that they announced the plan to come back. But when you look at, they had at least 2.5 months off mm-hmm. which not knowing, so can I get like fat and chill? Cause like, I don't have to be back. Like what can I do right now? Do I need to practice? Do I need to rehab? Do I need to work out? They had to essentially, some teams did and some teams didn't, had to stay ready and be ready in case they got the call back for the season to start. And at one point it did become clear that that call was coming and it was well in advance, but I'd argue in March, April, no one knew or perhaps even thought that that call was coming. Well,
I'd argue that there was definitely one man who knew they were coming back. What did Pat Bev say? If Ron says we playing, we playing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if Ron wanted to play in April, we going to come back at some point, whether it's July, August, September, October, I don't care. We coming back to finish this thing off. So, AD, I'm going to call you right now. Make sure you're ready to go because we're coming back. You know what I'm saying? So, and I also think that's just how he lives his life, though, right? You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Like, even to a certain degree when we didn't know what was going on, we still kind of thought, okay, this is just a pause. You know what I'm saying? Remember, we were like, this is a pause for like 2 weeks and then we'll be back. Or, you know, that man, he said we'd be back by Easter. You know what I'm saying? He said we'd be back and functioning by Easter. So a lot of people, in the summer, it'll go away. And then, you know, we'll prepare for the second
wave. The heat's going to burn it off. That's exactly what's going to happen. Right? The sun is going to burn it.
So there was a lot of people saying, like, they were going to come back. And I think LeBron was always of the mindset of whenever there's a window, you know, he didn't know how it was going to happen. But wherever there's a window, we're going to get in there. So we're going to make sure we're ready. But, man, shout out to LeBron, man. I know we had a lot of fun on the IG Live on Saturday about, you know, him not taking a shot and all this other stuff. And, you know, a lot of people probably read tweets and, you know, hear me on here. I poke at him every now and then. A lot of it has to do with the Lakers. I do not like LeBron on the Lakers because I don't like the Lakers. It's no secret about that. But make no bones about it. I love me some LeBron James. He's one of the greatest I've ever seen in my life. I enjoy watching him. I tell people all the time, when he's gone, even you people who hate him, when he's gone, you're going to miss him. You're going to miss the NBA without LeBron James. And I just love that he's here right now and that he's not going nowhere for a little while, it seems like.
I think there are going to be people unemployed the day after LeBron James retires. Someone had a great picture yesterday of what's going to happen to Skip Bayless when LeBron James retires. And it was a still shot from a Joe Pesci scene in Goodfellas. That Joe Pesci scene in Goodfellas. And the indication there from that was pretty clear. LeBron's 260th playoff game, 260th career playoff game. He passes Derek Fisher for the most all time. 916-349-1320. Big Al on the line. Big Al, what's going on, baby?
Hey guys. Well, I promise this, Casey. I'm sad. I mean, you're obviously you must be either a Kings. I never listened to you that much. If you're a Kings fan or not, but
definitely with the hometown team, baby.
That's fine. I get that, and I told you my story before. When you grew up as a kid in SoCal, down in Anaheim, you watch all the old, really old guys, Baylor and West and such. You know, you just stay with that, and the Kings laying around. So I never switched teams. So I get it. You know, sometimes it's the envy aspect. I never heard you say that, and you know how I feel now. I can happily wear my head high and say, Boston Celtics fans, including your call screener, I love the guy. We got 17, you got 17. Now, when we get 18, you get down on your knees and understand your place in life because we've blown past you. Yeah, that's what how it's going to be. Anyway, I like your analysis. We'll talk another time. I mean, I'm not an obnoxious Laker fan. Says, oh, yeah, we got another one next year and year after that. No. You play basketball, you understand. You know, the Lakers could have been an injury or injury and a half away from being nothing this year. I mean, that's just the way it could be, like last year with LeBron. Yeah. I mean, that happens. Yeah. I mean, the game is not football, but, you know, you can do some bad things, like watching – who was I watching? Oh, on football, you saw Sammy pull up with a hamstring. I'll never forget the year the Lakers should have beat Detroit for their third straight. Magic and Byron both pull leg injury, and they were toast. Yeah. They were toast. Yeah. So it happens. So I'll have to hear your effect. If you were to do betting odds, though, and who would you think that the Lakers need to replace? I mean, I love when Magic was so happy to get Kyle Kuzma, but I'm kind of losing it with Kyle. He's kind of frustrating me, you know, on his development. I just don't know if he's a guy I'd want to keep around for another couple of years or two when he finally comes into his contract money. I think they can do better. And they get a first-round pick this year.
You could probably use him as a trade chip to get him. Hey, do you want a shooting guard in Sacramento for Kyle Kuzma?
Yeah, I know. You remember who they wanted.
Does he fit into your cap?
Yeah, and I can't. But you remember who they wanted from Sacramento, and the Kings smartly. I like the guy, but they wanted Bogdanovich. They loved him. They wanted to get him. Yeah. Yeah, like the guy too.
Didn't they want Boogie once too?
Yeah, they definitely want a Boogie.
Really wanted him. Like Magic really wanted DeMarcus Cousins one year, if I remember correctly.
I think on one of your most famous days in your professional career, I think it came out that the Lakers had a deal on the table, and the old GM walked away from it. Big Al,
we appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
you're an OG Laker fan, man. I respect y'all. Congratulations, brother.
It was not a famous day, by the way. It was an infamous day.
Infamous day.
I've learned to let a lot in my life go. That still pisses me off to this day. But
that was some nonsense. But that's
we'll leave that for one of the slower days because we don't know when basketball is coming back.
Right,
we're down to two baseball series, and of course we've got football, which apparently takes place damn near every day of the week now here in 2020. As we not only we started the weekend having a Monday night football doubleheader. There was supposed to be a game starting in 22 minutes. That game has been canceled, but we still got a game coming up tonight. And there's more. We've got a game coming up tomorrow because, of course, we do.
And next Monday, we got matinee football. We got football during D-Lo and KC next Monday. Well, that's the plan,
really?
At least.
Oh, it's 1 o'clock. Is it 1 o'clock?
Yeah, Bills Chiefs, 1 o'clock next Monday.
Well, wait a minute. What's tomorrow? Is there a game tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the Patriots.
It's Bills Titans. It's Bills Titans.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. No, the Bills. Oh, that's right, because they're moving Bills. So there's no Thursday game this week then? Or
I guess not.
Yeah, this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no Thursday game.
No Thursday game. It's got moved to Monday afternoon. Like, this is the baseball playoffs. Monday afternoon football.
And not even a good baseball playoff series. Like, not even one that, like, TBS really buys. They're like, oh, we've got to. This one we are getting treated to, though.
Did
the A's play anytime after noon? Like,
no,
did
they
play
1:30?
They got
1 o'clock
starts every single game.
This one is fascinating because it's a good one. It's a good one. Bills Chiefs.
Yeah. Oh man, absolutely.
That's some good stuff. So who is the? Let me see something real quick, man. What's the original Monday night game that week? Because they maybe needed to shift that around. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh no, that's Sunday. Let me see. Monday night, it's Cowboys, Cardinals, Cowboys. Yeah, they could have put that one at 1 p.m. and put Bills Chiefs at the real Monday night slot.
Yeah, dog, but you know Cowboy fans are tuning in.
Oh, for sure.
Plus, it's Andy Dalton. Come on, man. Andy Dalton, baby.
Burling, Kenny Caroling. Four topics, two arguments, no winners. One on one. D-Lo and KC.
Partner, you said it was the Cardinals and the Cowboys?
Yeah.
That's a nice little transition here because I like to throw at least one overreaction at you every single Monday.
Okay.
For 4 weeks, for 5 weeks, we said the NFC West is the best division in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Caraway, I'm now of the belief that that's false. Tell me if this is an overreaction. The NFC West is not the best division in football. The AFC North is the best division in football.
Man, that's it's not an overreaction. I don't agree, but it's not an overreaction. I mean, what, they got the Steelers at 4-0. They got the Ravens at 4-1 and the Browns at 4-1.
Baker Mayfield, your Cleveland Browns, your beloved Baker Mayfield.
They're playing some good football right now. I got to be honest with you. I didn't see what Baker did yesterday. So
he
got hurt.
Like he got banged up yesterday is ultimately what happened. But
was he able to finish the game?
Oh, no. Okay, leave the man alone.
I'm just asking.
Yes.
I'm just asking.
He wasn't stellar. 21 of 37, 247 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. He does have some banged up ribs. But I think I think he's already said, yeah, dude, I'm playing next week.
They're 4-1, man. I mean, you got to tip your hat to that. I'm going to tip my hat to that. 4-1.
Kareem Baker Hunt Mayfield has been playing really well, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And the coach, he's with the game the way it should be. It's a game plan. He's not putting it all on Baker in the passing game. He's getting the ball to Kareem Hunt, letting him do what he does. And then they're going to get Nick Chubb back, and they're going to have a little two-headed monster when he comes back. So,
Kevin Stefanski. Like I said,
yeah, it's not an overreaction. It's not an overreaction. I'm still going with the NFC West, but it's not an overreaction. AFC North is really good.
You're right. It's not an overreaction. It's 100% factual.
Well, like I said, you're wrong, but it's not an overreaction.
I'm not wrong. I am 100% right, as you have to be in sports talk radio. You have to be 100% right. That is the only way to go. But yeah, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. I thought Cleveland would be better. Certainly, I didn't think they would be 4-1 five games into the season. But good for them. You have the San Francisco 49ers now being the worst team in the NFC West, and not to call you out and bring a private conversation to the forefront, but
okay.
We did game day before the game on Sunday. When happier times before the game
much
on Sunday.
Time before the worst Sunday in the last 20 weeks, I guess, for sports.
And so part of doing that 11 o'clock game day show is we've got the games on in the background. We try to keep everybody up. You uttered, I'm confident at one point, man, the Cardinals suck.
That ain't no good, man.
So now you've just now the 49ers aren't good. Record says they're not. You don't think the Cardinals are good, so that leaves you with both Seattle and Los Angeles, which just by default, there are three good teams in the AFC North and only two good teams in the NFC West. I'm just trying to get you to see things
well,
my way.
I mean, if we go on by record, I mean the Cardinals are good, right? I don't think they're that good, but if we go on by record, they're above 500.
They are. So. They're 3-2 with at least one win in the division.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm still going with the NFC West. I'm still going with the NFC West.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
going right out being wrong. It's fine. You're just being stubborn. It's all right. Go ahead. It's all right. Move along.
One division here that will not be in this discussion is the NFC East, a.k.a. the NFC Least.
Good news, everybody. The San Francisco 49ers would be leading the NFC East right now. So if we could just work out a switch.
The Dallas Cowboys, they got a win yesterday against the New York Giants to go to 2-3. They're in first place in the NFC East, but it came at a major, major price as Dak Prescott broke his leg, I guess you could say, ankle.
Ankle.
People say broken leg there, but it was a grotesque broken leg that I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to see. And like I said, I don't block anybody, but if you want to get blocked, muted, reported, or whatever, send me that video or send me that picture, and I will gladly block you in every single way that I can off of all social medias. I don't do that stuff, right? So I didn't see it. I heard about it. I feel terrible for Dak. I feel absolutely horrible for him. But here on D-Lo and KC, we ask the tough questions. And sometimes the tough questions, they don't match up with how I feel. Like I said, I feel terrible for him. But Damien, should Dak have even been playing yesterday on the franchise tag?
So just real quick, I'm not one of the cool kids who has the multi-TV setup. So I've got the one TV that must have had the 49ers game on. I had the Red Zone channel on the iPad. I just happened to look at the play. I look down at the iPad. I see Dak make the throw, and I see him go down. And I'm just like looking at it. I didn't see nothing, and he's holding his calf. And I'm like, oh, my God, he just tore his Achilles. I'm like, oh, no. And then the camera moves. It's like, nope, that ain't an Achilles. And it's one of those where you, like, knock the iPad down so you don't have to see it. Yeah. I was like, that's not an Achilles right there. Oh dear. And you're I just remember, like, look. And then finally the camera, you know, once they show their – for some reason I never understand why networks feel the need to show replays of stuff like that. But – you know, he was so calm during the whole process, man. And I'm just first in can we show some love for I never say a nice thing about Jason Garrett. He's the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants, and he was obviously Dak Prescott's coach. He came over to Mike McCarthy when everyone was getting up on the table. He came over to check on Dak Prescott. And just the love that Dak got from athletes across all sports. Yeah. I do think he should have played. The quarterback position is the one that I'll argue. I know the franchise tag isn't what anybody wants, but in Dak's case and in the quarterback's case, like, I believe that Dak Prescott's a very good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And when you get that franchise tag, dude, no matter what you think about the guy, it worked for Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And it worked to the tune of Kirk Cousins, I think, up until the extension that he just signed. Kirk Cousins got guaranteed money. This never happened in the history of the NFL. He got guaranteed money for 5 straight years because of that franchise tag. And sure, year one, you don't know that year two is coming. Year two is coming. One thing that you do know is year three probably isn't, because of the incredible cost that it takes for a quarterback to get a franchise tag for the third year. So if I'm Dak and I'm Dak's agent, I'm really pushing Jerry's. He's really got to push his chips to the middle of the table here in this second year. Yeah, I do believe that he should have played. But given what Jerry and Steven did, I think it's absolutely trash that they didn't pay Dak Prescott a long-term deal. And by the way, a couple of people asked this and quoted this, and this is just like how misinformation gets out there when you read one story but don't read the other. Phil Simms is an incredibly respected analyst, but one thing Phil Simms is he's not an NFL insider. And if he's saying a story on Inside the NFL, it's probably coming directly from somebody in a front office somewhere. I don't know that he is buddy-buddy with agents in the league, and I don't believe that he's buddy-buddy with players in the league. So when he went out there and he said that Dak Prescott turned down a deal worth $175 million with absolutely no logical explanation as to why he would, you've got to consider where a story like that would come from. Dak never turned that deal. In fact, of all of the different negotiating tactics that the Dallas Cowboys took during Dak Prescott's negotiation, the one they immediately shot down was like, yeah, dude, that didn't happen. Like, if you're going to report a deal out there, at least give us grounds as to why he turned it down. Yeah. Saying, oh, the $40 million, which was already $5 million over what Russell Wilson was making at the time, mm-hmm. wasn't enough. Like, come on, man. Like, be logical with this. And people thinking that that's actual reality is silly. It came down to, from what I understand, a year and not a dollar figure, whether it was 4 years or it was 5 years. Didn't, and Dak had always Dallas, believed.
Sorry, didn't Dallas want 5 years and Dak
and
wanted
Dak
four?
And Dak wanted four. Dak was like, I'm going to be worth more money to you in 4 years, and I'm going to bet on myself, and I don't want that fifth year. And the Cowboys wouldn't budge. Dak wouldn't budge. That's how we got to where we were. And you don't see that often with quarterbacks. Dak has done nothing. Dak is similar to Jimmy Garoppolo in the sense, in the time that he's been with the Cowboys, he's won. Mm-hmm. And this is an organization that you know, they were coming off of the Tony Romo thing. Tony Romo was, you know, he was either hit or miss every single year. He was 13-3 or he was 3-13, and there was very little in between. And he gets injured, and this guy just steps in, picks up the pieces. You got Ezekiel Elliott. You got all of these great things going on around you. But the fact is, he is a great quarterback. I'd argue he's a top 8 quarterback in the league. And all of the faults with the Dallas Cowboys this year do not fall on Dak Prescott. They absolutely do not fall on Dak Prescott. 13 touchdowns total, including one receiving yesterday, by the way. 3 interceptions, I think 1,800-something yards. Cowboys' problems aren't on Dak Prescott.
Not at all. When you talk about this contract and this situation, I think you got 2 choices if you're Dak Prescott. And one of them is not, I guess you got 3 choices, but I'm not, in football, I'm not playing on the franchise deal, especially if you have leverage like that. So you either take the 4-year deal or the 5-year deal, or you hold out. Ezekiel Elliott, he got his money when he said, I'm not showing up. Mm-hmm. And eventually they caved and they paid him. And from everything that I'm hearing right now, it's not going to, Dak Prescott may still get his money, right? Like, he got his $30 million this year. A lot of people are saying that he's going to get franchised next year. Like, the Cowboys aren't supposedly wouldn't just let him walk for free. They'll franchise him, whatever the case may be.
That's a plus for Dak.
Year.
If they franchise him again, that's a plus.
I've heard that multiple times, that that's what people think is going to happen. And then he can play himself maybe into another contract. I hope he does. I hope he gets every dime that he was probably set to get coming into this year. But as far as this situation goes, In football, nah, I'm not playing on the franchise. I know it worked for Kirk Cousins.
I understand.
But I'm not playing. I'm either signing that deal or I'm holding out.
I think the quarterback is the one, especially a young quarterback, is the one position where you could potentially make that exception. I don't disagree with you at all. But the money as it starts to add up, because there was no question Dak was going to be worth the contract extension this year. It was just going to be, now he had even more power in my mind.
Yeah.
Either you give it to him or you don't, because next year you have no choice. You can franchise me if you want to, but you know and I know you're not going to do it a third time. You right. can't afford to do it a third time. So now at this point, I'm looking at, well, what I just said, I'm looking at five straight years of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
We'll burn through these last two here pretty quickly as Damon Ratto and Kolsky are coming up at the top of the hour. Dan Quinn is out in Atlanta. Two head coaches fired in a span of a week as he joins B.O.B. as coaches who have been let go for previously winless teams. The Houston Texans got their first win of the season. The Atlanta Falcons did not. Kenny Caraway, who's next?
Adam Gase.
Yep.
Who I'm a better coach than.
The proper response would have been Adam Gase. Next question. But I've got my eye on Detroit. I've got my eye on
that
Detroit.
That was my second guess, but
yeah.
Adam Gase or Matt Patricia.
I think Adam Gase may go during the season. I don't think that Matt Patricia will.
Hmm. Yeah, could be the case. Lastly, Damian, we talked about it earlier. We crowned a NBA champion last night. And you know the first thing that we do? Look towards next season. So I got to ask you, who's the favorite to not only win the NBA championship, but who do you think is going to meet in the NBA finals?
Easy. This is super easy. This is a battle for 18, baby.
Wow.
It's the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Boston Celtics.
I'm going to switch it up on you just a little bit. I'm going to say Lakers, Nets, Brooklyn. Where Brooklyn at? Dude. Where Brooklyn at?
I think it's Lakers next year. Brooklyn. Yeah, you are super, super high on Brooklyn. You don't think they're going to need like the old proverbial figure it out year that every new team seems to need?
Maybe. But I think they're going to be ready. Kyrie and KD. Yeah, I think they're doing it, man. They coming out these
things we love about sports. I'd be happy with either of those NBA finals, by the way.
For real.
Things that we love about sports. Rafael Nadal continues to be unbeatable in every literal sense of the word on clay at the French Open. He got his 20th Grand Slam title. He is the fifth player, man or woman, to win 20 Grand Slam single titles. He joins Margaret Court, Serena Williams, Steffi Graf, and the only other male to do it, Roger Federer. He is 13-0 in French Open finals.
Unbelievable. Things I love about sports. I know we covered our eyes for most of the time, but Alex Smith got his got his wish to play on the NFL field again. I was nervous as all hell, but I thought it was really cool if I could get past that nervousness to have him out on the field and for his family to be able to be there, to see his wife and his kids give him a standing ovation to get back on the field. That was pretty cool, man.
We were trying to do game day when Alex Smith entered the game, and it was like, oh no. And I found myself like, I felt so bad. I'm watching this on TV. He gets sacked by, I think it was 47 Rams. Like they all hit him at the same time. And you saw me jump, and I'm like, oh God. Oh God. And then he gets
turned away immediately. As soon as it happened,
he runs to the sideline and he's good to go. We appreciate you for being with us. Download the radio.com app for anything you may have missed today. We'll be back with you tomorrow at noon. Damon Ratto and Kolsky coming up next here on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.